Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 7th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 101, the fourth paragraph that begins with "You will note." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kim T., Courtney M., Kara L., Ellen D., Don B., and Wendy B. and Leslie M. are all doing service this morning, and thank you all. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a vision. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope. I'm going to go back up just for a second because I think I'm supposed to put the share IDs in here. I apologize. The share ID for Monday, April 6th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,382. That's 14382. And for today's 7 a.m. meeting, the share ID is 14,388. That's 14388. Okay, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's, if you can mute your phone, please. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Kim T. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kim T., recovered in Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, I guess.
Thank you, Kim T. And Courtney M., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Hi, this is Courtney M., recovering in Florida. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a healthy day.
Thank you, Courtney M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And due to the amount of people on the line, which we love having, we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So today we are going to resume our study of the Big Book. Again, we're on page 101, the fourth paragraph that begins, "You will note." And Kara L., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. You will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself on each occasion, have I any good social business or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere of such place? If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need have no apprehension. Go or stay away, whichever seems best. But be sure you are in solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive in going is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. But if you are shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. No truer words were said, right? Again, I'm Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And really, it's a gift, and I'm grateful today to be of service, to be able to read this today. And I love that our book gives us clear-cut instructions. You know, if we have questions, the answer is right here. Whether or not we should go somewhere, well, right now, no. The answer is always no. But in general, we can say, have I any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? You know, do I really need to go out? Or am I expecting just a little vicarious pleasure? Well, you know, I see other people I haven't seen in a while. If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you have no apprehension. Do I have a really good reason? And then when I'm going, it's not, what am I going to get out of this place? What's there for me? It's how can I be of service in this place? Think of what I can bring to it. If I'm feeling shaky, then be of service. Find that spiritual connection. You know, if I'm on solid spiritual ground, then I can go anywhere. If I'm not, then I need to work with another individual. I need to call someone. I need to make an outreach call. I need to send a text. I need to get in the Big Book with the sponsee. I need to make contact with somebody and work this program together. You know, it is a together program. And I'm so blessed that it is. We're so blessed to have these meetings, so blessed to have the technology that, you know, this morning I heard greetings from all over the world, and that we're able to be together and we're able to find our humanness together and to share the words of the big book together and study together. I guess today I'm just so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for everyone on the line. I'm looking forward to hearing from everybody and all your voices, gently for Kathleen as they come in. And with that, I'll pass today. Thank you, my fellows, and I'm sending everyone a big virtual hug.
And thank you, Kara L., for getting us started. Okay, again, we're on page 101, the fourth paragraph. So who would like to share who has not shared in the past 3 days?
Christina J.
Christina J.
Dawn B.
Beth K.
Dawn B. Was that Beth K?
Jess. Jess
K. Barbara E.
Ross.
Bonnie
Ross.
J.M.
Hold on right there. So was it Bonnie? What were your initials, Bonnie?
Yeah, it was
J.M.
Bonnie
J.M. Yeah.
Okay.
Stacy J.
And Stacy J. Okay, let's stop there. And I think I got one name wrong here.
You said Beth,
okay,
but it's Jess.
Okay. It's Beth.
Jess, J-E-S-S.
Jess. Okay, sorry, Jess.
Yep. Okay. That's okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
All righty. That's the name I got wrong. Okay, so I have Christina J, Dawn B, Jess K, Barbara E, Roz G, Bonnie J-M, and Stacy J. So go ahead, Christina J.
Hi, Christina J, State of Washington here, and grateful to be on this phone line this morning. I've got several days off now, and so I get to throw myself into program even heavier. I'm recovering. And I want to talk about what it was like for a second. I would not go. I was overweight, ashamed, hiding in my bathroom, actually, when relatives would come to visit or make an excuse to go to my bedroom and hide. I was so ashamed of any extra weight. And as the disease progressed and I got bigger and bigger, I couldn't fit into any clothes whatsoever. It was horrific when relatives came and they wanted to go to dinner, they wanted to go to a baseball game or whatever. And I would always say I was sick or this or that or the other. In recovery, I really haven't had a problem going to places. When I was out of recovery and struggling, I would go to places and it was white-knuckling murder, just white-knuckled murder. Everyone was eating the foods I wanted to eat, and I was just like wringing my hands, wringing my soul on that diet, you know, just hanging on tight to that diet. And then many times I'd go and I wouldn't be tempted. I'd be proud of myself because I'd lost all this weight, walking around proud of the fact that I didn't eat this or that. So it never was any kind of recovery. Now I can go, and the food, you know, it's like it's not about the food. It's about what's in my head. Nowadays, I've come to a point in my recovery where the food's not so tempting anymore. It's the buildup of human emotions that takes me down. So if I've got a buildup of human emotions that I haven't processed, I have to ask myself, do I need to go to this place? Am I really struggling with something that I need to stay home and maybe work a four-step on or maybe work program? It all depends on my spiritual condition, whether I go or stay away. And that's what I have advised sponsees when I've been working with sponsees before. We've gently talked about, do you really need to go to this? Are you on shaky ground? Where are you at in your recovery? So be sure you're on solid spiritual ground before you go and your motive is good, you know? What am I going to get out of the occasion? What am I going to give to the occasion is what I ask myself these days. And I'm so grateful to be able to go to weddings and to go and be with people and have joy and laughter instead of standing there going, this person's talking ad nauseum. I just want to get to that table and sneak some cookies in my pocket and run to the bathroom and stuff my face. Don't have to live that way anymore. It's beautiful not to have to live that way. But I have to work it. And sometimes I don't want to work it. But I've realized that I must stay close to my higher power all day long, not just when I do my prayers in the morning and then get up and walk away and go, okay, I'm going to control my day now. I've got to stay close to God day in, day out, in order to do this thing right. And I hope that my words were a blessing to someone and it gives you motivation to get on this train and get going. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Christina J. Okay, Dawn B., you're up next, followed by Jess K.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Yes, a nice paragraph. It reminds me of when I was in the disease, my disease, actively not wanting to go to a funeral because I was fat, and I felt like everybody would be looking at me and judging me, and so shocked with how much I'd changed since the last time they'd seen me. And, you know, even though it was a funeral for someone I loved and cared about, it was all about me. And just remembering, thinking back about how sad that was. But now, after having the transformation, spiritual transformation that comes from working the steps and living in recovery, now I get to focus on my higher power and have that be the center of what I'm thinking about, is my higher power's loving presence. And asking my higher power how I can be of service, so what I can bring to the situation, rather than, you know, trying to make up stories in my mind of what other people are thinking about me. And what a beautiful thing it is to be in recovery. So now it's no longer about our little plans and designs, our fears. It's about, how can I be of service? How can I serve you, higher power? How can I serve those people around me? And it's just a wonderful, wonderful way of life, a new and peaceful way of life. And so I can hold on to my higher power's hand and ask for the right words, ask for the right actions, and know that those intuitive thoughts and actions will come to me if I only ask for them. And what a beautiful way of life that is. Anyway, with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn B. Jess K., you're up next, followed by Barbara E.
Hey, everybody, this is Jess K. in Asheville, North Carolina, and I'm so grateful to be able to call in live and for the new sort of rules that we have about sharing every 3 days. It feels like there's an influx of new voices, and I'm so grateful to get to be one of those voices. And I apologize for road noises. I am walking down the street right now. I am literally holding my hand closed as if I am holding my higher power's hand. I love what I've heard in the share so far, and this image of just like walking to my shop. I'm a crafts person and I work alone, and I've switched to making masks. And so I'm heading in for a full day of work, and it's been a few weeks since I've done that. I've got some abstinent food with me, but not enough for the whole day. So kind of like, God, hold my hand. I'm going to need at some point to procure food today. And I want to do that sanely and abstinently. Oh, and that, you know, some days that just feels like a really big task. I'm recovering in this program, and I have 80 days, maybe 80, something like that, off of sugar, sweet treats and desserts. So that feels really amazing. And I just need this program, and I need to focus on the spiritual aspect. So what I heard in the reading sounded like grocery stores to me. Like, you know, we can go to these places if we are spiritually fit, and if not, it would be better to make a phone call, wouldn't it, or to get on a Zoom meeting. And I just, that's exactly what I needed to hear for today. So I will pass, and thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you so much, Jess K. Okay, Barbara E., it is your turn, followed by Roz G.
Thank you so much for allowing me these 3 minutes to share. We live in uncertain times, but for me, God does the future stuff, and I just have to let go and be in the present. And pain can be on, but it also ends. So I just know that I have to open my heart, say, heart open, please enter. And if you put all those first letters together, you get hope. And that's what we need today. And I can remember when before I joined OA in 1996, I would go to a party worried about what people were thinking of me, going from a size 2 to a size 24 in the space of a year. opting out of weddings and funerals and birthday parties of my own relatives and forcing my husband and children who were not biologically relatives to attend parties that I wanted to go to as a teenager that I suddenly decided, no, I'd rather be with my food. I was desperate, absolutely desperate to get a new diet, a diet where I could lose the weight, get healthy, and then be stamped normal. But when I got down to my weight, wherever it was, in whichever program, I was still me. And me was a not nice place to be. I was mean when I was abstinent, because abstinent hurts. And I was mean when I was binging, because all I was thinking about was me, not my children, not my husband. And I have learned over the years that no thanks is a complete sentence. But I do remember when I first came into OA and I went to a wedding and they had the Viennese table, and you all know what that means. I went out to the bathroom. I called my sponsor on a payphone and she talked to me. And I'd only been her sponsee for a week or two, maybe. She talked to me for a solid half hour and I kept feeding quarters into the machine. And when I came back, I had my coffee. I looked around. The tables were gone. The napkins were on the table. And it was done. Today I can go anywhere. If I feel that I need to be on a polar ice cap, I am not spiritually fit. There's food all over the house. It's not mine. It's beautiful. But I wouldn't take a Monet from the Metropolitan Museum of Art, nor would I take my husband's Oreos. They have new Oreos now that I've never tasted before. But what I would do is go to this meeting because it gives me sustenance and you give me hope. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Bonnie J.M.
Hi, it's Roz G., and I'm passing by a gardener, so just I'm walking, and I'll, that noise will diminish in a second here. My name is Roz G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in the city of Palmdale, California. Thank you to the leadership of this meeting who have invoked a three-day policy. I get annoyed at people that share every day and barge their way in. But guess what? When I get annoyed at people who do stuff, it's because I have the same character defect and I spent a good time sharing every day too at one point, you know. So I'm guilty of that in the past. But anyway, this paragraph reminds me of a great man who said, "Think not of what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And boy, is this a total turnaround from selfish, self-centered me, myself, and I thinking. And just like everybody else, I used to go to dinner parties, ladies' retreats, Bible studies. What's on that table? What's on the buffet table? What, you know, not how are you doing, but here's my dish and let's go to the buffet table. You know, that's basically what I was thinking. And through the years and through this paragraph and through looking at my character defects, it's like your mama saying to you, think what can you do instead of what can you get? And so now we're in this quarantine. What can I do? Well, I started two Zoom meetings with my Al-Anon groups, my home Al-Anon groups. A lot of the ladies are kind of like not tech savvy in my home groups. So I started the groups. And we have two meetings now here. You know, of course, anybody's welcome, but, you know, I started the groups. I sit, I help. Yesterday, this lady needed help with Google Classroom, an older teacher. I spent time helping her. And, you know, I can help other people even while we're in this quarantine. I've been working with sponsees during the daytime, and I can give. I can use the telephone, I can use the internet, and I can be of service. And I can shut my mouth and listen for a few days as well, because I sure have enjoyed hearing new voices. Thank you for your service. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Roz G. Okay, Bonnie J. M., you're up next, followed by Stacy J.
Hi, I'm Bonnie J. M. from Arizona. And I was laughing this morning. I was doing my writing, and I was writing on an issue because I am invited somewhere tonight and next door, and they're going to, I don't drink, but they're going to have their little cocktail hour in the backyard and sit 6 feet apart. And this is the second time I've been invited and the first time I didn't go. And I was thinking today, I don't really want to go. And why didn't I want to go? Because, you know, my focus was on what's in it for me. And I am recovered, and I like to think I work a really good program, but it always fascinates me how I get what I need when I listen to a meeting or I open up one of my meditation books or the big book. And, you know, so today reading, my program's good. I'm not worried about eating. And I know darn well they would enjoy having me there, and that me being there would be an asset to the group. And, you know, I am going to go, and I'm not going to look at it as what's in it for me, but I am going to look at it as, okay, God, how can I love my friends? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Bonnie J.M. Okay, and before we take you, Stacy, just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 101, the fourth paragraph, starting with You Will Note. So go ahead, Stacy J., and after Stacy J., I'll take some more names.
Thanks very much for your service. This is Stacy J., recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. So much stands out to me in this paragraph. One of the things I used to do when I was in the food is I would invite friends to go to a specific restaurant where I could get the kinds of foods I wanted. Or if other people initiated a get-together, I would kind of try and force it to be in a place where there was some exciting food there for me. And so the pleasure wasn't all that vicarious. Now that I'm recovered, I've been abstinent over 6.5 months, and it's not about that at all, and I don't care where we eat, frankly. But what I do is I check the menu ahead of time if it's a new place to make sure that before I agree to go there, I know that I can have a peaceful and abstinent meal. One of the things I wanted to point out, though, in looking at this, is that this paragraph assumes that, you know, the alcoholic has put down alcohol, and for us, it's a little trickier because if we have not abstained, if we're not entirely abstinent from all of our alcoholic foods, we could be walking around, you know, calling ourselves abstinent and still it being in a triggered state. And what that has looked like for me in the past is when I would go into a grocery store, I would have this hunting behavior of hunting along the shelves, looking for foods that would technically be abstinent, but that were exciting to me. So that's a behavior that I don't experience now because I'm entirely abstinent. So going into a grocery store is a non-event, and I get what I went in for and I leave, and it's like I went to the bank machine, or it's nothing. The other thing is, in my early abstinence, I want to share that going into a grocery store, which would be scary early on, I would bookend going in, where I would text a fellow in program and say I'm going in, and then text when I came out. And I found that was a really helpful support to get in and out. Even though I had a good reason to be there, it was still dicey in the early days, and so that was a helpful thing. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy J. Okay, a reminder, we're on page 101, the fourth paragraph, beginning with "you will note." And who else would like to share who has not shared in the last 3 days?
Hi, this is Bonnie, compulsive in Missouri.
Lindsay A.
I'm sorry.
Lindsay A.
Sorry, this is Ronnie in Missouri. I'm trying to get through to you. Thank you.
Mindy R.
Okay, I got Ronnie. I got Lindsay. Didn't you get your initial Lindsay or yours, Ronnie? And who else?
Mindy
R.
Okay, I'm not getting you. Did I hear
R.
Mary?
Yes.
Did I hear a Mary?
Mary Grace.
Grace.
Thank you.
And your initial Mary Grace of your last name?
H is in Harry.
H. Oh, okay. Mary H, not Grace. Okay. And then
yeah,
I heard
Mary
a Mindy.
Grace. That's okay. I'll
okay.
Mindy
okay.
R.
Mindy R.
Yeah.
Darian K.
Who? What was the last one?
Darian K.
Darian. Darian K.
Savannah W.
Savannah W.
Bruce E.
Shell F.
And Bruce. Okay, Bruce E. And was it Michelle F?
Yes.
Okay, if we have time, we'll get to you too, Michelle. Okay, so here's what I have. Ronnie, and I need an initial. Lindsay J. Mary Grace H. Mindy R. Darian K. Savannah W. Bruce E. And Michelle F. So go ahead, Ronnie. And what is the first initial? I know you're from Missouri, I think. Are you there, Ronnie? Star one to unmute.
Yes, it's B as in boy.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Ronnie. Thank you.
Thank you. Ronnie, compulsive overeater in Missouri. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, I just reread the chat, that portion to make sure I was on the same page with everyone, no pun intended. And I am. And one thing that stood out is that I've always been a schemer when it comes to my food. You know, what things might kind of sort of be okay and might not be okay. And you know what? If I have to say something is kind of sort of okay, it's not okay. And I don't like even having that awareness because that means I can no longer pull my shenanigans. That means this is okay, that's not okay. There really isn't, for me, there really isn't a black and white. You know, I think when I want to say, I mean, there really is black and white is what I'm saying. When it comes to my food, there's no gray area. It's like a drink is a drink. And I have to remember that and be a little bit hard on myself as I'm being compassionate because I know where that leads me. I absolutely know. It starts with a little of that and then goes to a little of that and then a little more of that. So I really do have to be rigorously and sometimes brutally honest with myself. And then in terms of what can I do for others, that is always the key for me. If I'm, like the other day, I really felt like I had to have something that was not in my food plan. Now, I can't tell you where they came from, and I don't care. It happened. And so, you know, my sponsor's been encouraging me. You know, I'm back a little bit more than 4 months. You know, to make those outreach calls. And so I made an outreach call, first person I didn't get, and the second person was able to talk for a minute, and then that left. That feeling of I got to have something, that desperation of having to have something passed. So, and I'm grateful that we're doing people who haven't spoken in 3 days because I can go 4 days and try to get on the line, and I can't. And I understand it's a big line. There's a lot of people. So, but I think this kind of helps give everyone a fighting chance. So I'm grateful for this, and God bless us all. Thank you. That's it.
And thank you, Ronnie B. Okay, Lindsay J., you're up next, followed by Mary Grace H.
Lindsay, compulsive overeater, bulimic. I think there are two of us. So I just wanted to say hello. I've never called in to this meeting before, and I'm super grateful for it. I'm going to let the other Lindsay share.
Okay, did we have another Lindsay that I missed? Okay, well, let's go to Mary Grace H. Go ahead, Mary Grace.
This is Mary Grace H. from Monterey, California. There's a couple of things. As I read this paragraph, I've been abstinent now for a little over 8 months, and I'm thinking I didn't really even think about it. Anyway, to make a long story short, I had won a silent auction, and what it was movie and dinner at a certain restaurant. I didn't even pay that much. I never thought I would win for 20 people. So the restaurant happened to be a buffet. I'm not fond of buffets even when I'm not abstinent. It's just not my choice. But anyway, and of course the movie theater included things. But I didn't even really think about it until just now as we were reading this. I had the event on Veterans Day. I changed it from a dinner to a lunch because a lot of the people I know are older, and so I figured that they would probably do the lunch more easily than the dinner. But I went through the line last. Of course, I was the hostess, so I don't want to give myself too much credit for that. But I didn't even think about going through the line first, and I didn't even look at things that weren't on my food plan, and probably because I was trying to give to others. I did it on Veterans Day, and I invited a lot of veterans and a lot of other people in 12-step programs, and it was just a wonderful event. And then the other thing that happened, like I said, I didn't really think about it till just now, is that my sister came to visit with her family, and of course, first we were going to meet somewhere, and then I kind of convinced them to come down to Monterey for a night, and they did. And so I took them out to lunch to my favorite restaurant. Well, one of the reasons it's my favorite restaurant, I know people will relate, is because I'm a veteran, I get free appetizer and free dessert of my choice. And again, you know, I've gone there since I've been abstinent, and I didn't eat the dessert. You know, I have a picture of my sister, who, by the way, is not in OA, but has had gastric bypass surgery, you know, holding up this lovely food to her mouth, you know, kind of as a joke. But if I go and I leave, I give that to the homeless people. There's tons of homeless people where I'm, you know, where I go. And so anything that's left over goes to them. And one more thing I wanted to say, well, two more things. I, too, am very grateful that you started the Let's Not Share Too Often. Because as I was talking to my sponsor yesterday, she said, were you calling Vision? I said, well, I'm not really getting that much out of it because I hear the same people all the time. And she told me about the 3-day. And I go, well, that was great because I already made myself limit myself to not sharing more than once a week. And the last thing I want to say is I was absent from 1990. I'm sorry.
I'm calling time. It's 3 minutes, Shara. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Thanks.
But thank you so much, Mary Grace. Sorry. Okay. And if I have I have 5 people left. So if you want to take a little less time in your share, we might be able to get everyone in. So Mindy R., go ahead. You're followed by Darian K.
Hi, my name's Mindy. I'm a compulsive overeater. And thanks, everybody, for sharing. Just thinking about enjoying the social distancing during all this, what's going on, is kind of helping me because everywhere I go and everything I do is always about the food or the drink, and because I've been an isolator in the past few years, I'm always told by people, you need to do this, you need to get out, you need to go here, you need to come with us. But it's always about the food and the drink. And when I had really good recovery and abstinence, it's when I stayed away from people, places, and things that triggered me. And then eventually I was able to come back. And I really believe what the big book says, you know, I must stay away from it and I must not go near it until I can. And that's, you know, that's all I really have to share. I just wanted to get out how I just struggle so much with the food and struggle with not being heard and struggle with people, places, and things, and being powerless over everything and anyone and everything in my life. And that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Mindy R. Okay, Darian K., you're up next, followed by Savannah W.
Hi there. Excuse me, it's Darian K. In the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Oh, so grateful to be here. And, you know, I'm going to just chime in as well and just say thank you. Thank you, you know, for putting in a 3-day, you know, share thing. There's over there's 200 people on the line right now. So 12 new people to share is just lovely every couple of days. And so, yeah, it's just, it's a good thing, really it is. Just love hearing from everybody. So just thinking in terms of that paragraph that we read, you know, early on in program, you know, I had fear, like, oh my goodness, what if I won't get what I need, and, you know, I won't get enough. And I mean, there's, you know, all those fears, right, because we don't always leave it in God's hands. Oh, so, you know, I had to talk to a sponsor. I remember very early on even calling a sponsor, like stepping outside a restaurant and calling a sponsor and asking her advice. You know, just helped me to feel better, having the guidance from somebody that's gone before me. you know, but as time went on, my trust grew. My, you know, my reliance on God grew. And, you know, and I knew in my heart of hearts that I could go anywhere with my program, and that I could always ask, you know, what's my motive? And I say that to my sponsees too. What is your motive? You know, and if it's a good motive, so be it. But also plan, you know, if you fail to plan, you know, you plan to fail. And so, you know, knowing what is being served at a wedding or, you know, committing some particular food because, you know, you don't want to have to look at the, you know, 5 pages of the menu or whatever, you know, do whatever you have to do, to make it simple for yourself. Because it's not like alcohol where we don't have to touch it at all. We need to make choices each day. So, you know, relying on people that have gone before us, praying about it, and keeping, you know, our higher power for front and center, and enjoying the time that we have with these people. I mean, that is really what these occasions are supposed to be about. And so if I can keep my perspective proper and my attitude positive, you know, I can get through anything. I can do anything in this program. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful place to come every day. You know, it's the anchor in this turbulent water that we're in today. And I am just so grateful for all of you. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Darian K. Okay, Savannah W., you are up, followed by Bruce E.
Thank you so much. This is Savannah W. It was so good to hear this paragraph. I just, all the ways these things come to us when just we need them is amazing. And for me, you know, under quarantine, we can't physically go anywhere, but we still have a lot of choices of, or I feel like we have a lot of choices of still of places to go and things to do. And yesterday I had a really hard day with, social media and news and just online sources for a lot of reasons. And I just kept going there and it was bad. And one of the reasons is that there were all these people that I know and love talking about food and some food that I love and I don't eat anymore. And it was just a hard day, but it was also hard because I'm white knuckling and everything is hard right now. And I'm looking outside myself for this vicarious pleasure. And I don't even have to leave my house to do that. I still went to a place. My motive was not good for going there. So I just feel really thankful for this reminder and the pause that I am shaky and I don't belong in those spaces right now where I went yesterday. But what I do feel so hungry for is these calls. And I feel just so grateful that we can come to these calls shaky. I can be shaky and still show up here. And I don't need to be on a solid spiritual ground, yet I can always still come here. And it just is everything to know that and feel that. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Savannah W. Okay, Bruce E., and I have Michelle S. also, and if you both can take 2 minutes, we might be able to get you both in. So go ahead, please, Bruce E.
Bruce E., I'll take the two. Thank you. And I'm recovered. I'm in Florida. I like the idea on the three-minute deal or three-day deal because it puts a boundary on me. You know, because when I'm doing good, like I'm doing right now, I want to get on the phone, tell everybody about it, and then everybody will like me, and then I can feel good about myself. So this is a good boundary for me. And let's see, have any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? Well, what about getting on television? Do I have a good social, business, or personal reason for turning on the news or watching the news? You know, what's my motivation here, you know, to do this stuff? And so also we got invited to we don't get invited to parties much. And you know, I want to say something here too. I don't get invited to talk at OA meetings much, you know, but I might. And what's my motivation for speaking at that meeting? Is it to pump myself up because I'm feeling good about myself and I need to pump myself up some more? Or is it because I want to try to help somebody and in turn I help myself? So we were invited to the social occasion, and it was on St. Patrick's Day. So they didn't have it because of this virus. And I was already scheming on that. I was thinking about getting some vicarious pleasure out of that, and maybe how could I, you know, eat some items that are a little more something that I normally wouldn't be able to eat if I'm at home, because I wouldn't have a scale there. So, you know, I got to watch what I'm doing. I got to watch my motivation. I got to watch my reason for doing stuff. And thank you for the call. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Okay, Michelle S., you have 2 minutes, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service, and thank you, everyone. Food wasn't the only thing I had a hard time saying no to. I flashed to a point in my early recovery where we were visiting the in-laws, and they wanted to go get ice cream. And why on earth was I sitting in the car by myself, watching them buy the ice cream, calling my sponsor and crying? I didn't have to get in that car, but I had no boundaries and just no ability to say no. And I used my recovery as an excuse to not have to go to Thanksgiving for a really long time. I was shaky, but could I have gone? Yeah, absolutely. Earlier, I actually white-knuckled it through an early Thanksgiving, and I went, never again, I'm just not going. That ability to say no and have boundaries, that's just lacking in this disease. And so I'm grateful for everyone on the line. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Michelle S. Excuse me, and thank you, everyone. It was so great hearing a lot of new voices on the line this morning. And a special thanks to Team Tuesday, Courtney M., Kim P., Kara L., Ellen D., Don B., Wendy B., and Leslie M., and Elaine in the background with us. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Ellen D., if you would please read A Vision for You.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.